The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's turn together in the scripture to Luke 18. Luke 18, the Reformed baptism form, explicitly identifies three Bible passages as biblical proof for infant baptism. In my ministry here, we've considered Genesis 17, verse 7, and Acts 2, verse 39, somewhere along the way, but never Mark 10. So this morning, one of the parallels to Mark 10, which is Luke 18, 15 and 16. Let's read together the first 17 verses of the chapter. "And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Thus far we read this divinely inspired portion of Scripture this morning. This is the Word of God. The text for the sermon this morning is verses 15 and 16. "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we consider one of the well-known incidents of the ministry of our Lord, an incident that is recounted by Matthew and Mark and Luke, and an incident that is referred to in the Reformed baptism form as a ground for infant baptism. The incident is the bringing of little children to Jesus by parents. And when the disciples tried to intervene and stop, Jesus then declared, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. It will be worth our while for just a moment this morning to note the connection between this incident and the context. Both Matthew and Mark tell this incident immediately after giving to us Jesus' doctrine of marriage. In Matthew 19 and in Mark 10, we read about how the Pharisees came to Jesus tempting him with a question whether it's lawful for a man to put away his wife, that is, divorce his wife, for every cause. And Jesus responded by teaching the biblical doctrine of marriage, teaching that divorce is not allowed, but on the one ground of adultery, and that remarriage, while the spouse yet liveth, is prohibited as adultery, because marriage is a lifelong bond. Jesus gives his doctrine of marriage, and then Matthew and Luke go immediately to this incident and tell how parents were bringing their little children to Jesus. There's a connection there. We'll come back to it in the sermon. But Luke makes a different connection. Luke gives this incident immediately after telling us the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. We read of that in verses 9 through 14, then the text, verses 15 and 16, and then Luke, by inspiration, concludes with verse 17, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." This is the doctrine that's running through. Salvation is not of works. That's a very proud doctrine, salvation by works. But salvation is of grace. That's the doctrine of humility. Now, in the parable of the Pharisee and publican, the Pharisee thinks that you have to do good works. You have to do good things before God, and then God will bless you with the blessings of salvation. So the Pharisee contends that he's been staying away from all kinds of sinful deeds, but he does good works in fasting and tithing, and therefore he expects that God will richly bless him with the blessings of salvation. If you want to be saved, you have to do something. You have to come before God with your works. That's the proud doctrine of the Pharisee. Evidently, the disciples were infected, at least to a degree, by this proud doctrine of works righteousness, and that's evident by the fact that they forbade these parents to bring their children to Jesus. Children are not like Pharisees. Children are empty-handed. They cannot do anything. They can't even walk to Jesus as infants. They have to be carried in the arms of their parents. Surely children cannot be a part of the kingdom, because they can't do anything. Evidently, that was the mindset of the disciples. And so they kept trying to keep the parents from bringing the children to Jesus. They were thinking this proud doctrine of works righteousness like the Pharisees. So Jesus not only rebukes them, but he goes on in verse 17 to say, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." You do not receive the kingdom by all of the things you do and perform. You receive the kingdom by faith, and by faith alone, by coming to Jesus by faith, even as a little child is brought in the arms of his believing parents. Luke is teaching the doctrine that salvation is not of works, salvation is of grace. And so Luke gives us the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, and then immediately thereafter, he gives us this incident of parents bringing their little children to Jesus to underscore the graciousness of salvation. So there's important instruction in the connection between the text and the context, but Now our focus this morning is on the important and wonderful instruction of the text itself. Parents brought their little child to church this morning and to the sacrament of baptism, really brought their children to Jesus. A little child was brought to Jesus this morning. And the question is, why do we do that? Why do we bring our little children to Jesus in baptism? Is it? Do we think about this? Is it only out of custom? That's simply what we do. Or is there some superstition involved? Why? Jesus commands it. And why does he command it? Because little children belong to the kingdom of God. Let's examine the text this morning under the theme, bringing the children to Jesus. First of all, the meaning. Second, the ground. And third, the command. Parents were bringing their little children to Jesus, verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants. Now, we are not told who the they are, but who could be the they if they are not the parents of these children? They bring their children. Children were the only ones being brought to Jesus, for we read, and they brought unto him also infants. We know from other verses that Jesus had become very popular, and everywhere he went, people were bringing the sick and diseased and the dying, and evidently people here also were bringing the sick to Jesus. But there were also parents who were bringing to Jesus their children. Very specifically, the text says, infants. And that word there translated infant is the same word translated babe in Luke 2 verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So you can picture Mary holding babe, infant, Jesus all wrapped up and putting him in the manger. And now picture many parents carrying little babies all wrapped up, infants, and bringing their infants to Jesus. And they brought unto him also infants. The purpose, as stated by Luke, is that he would touch them. This was an act of parental faith. The parents, bringing the children, believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and that he had the power to bestow upon their children the Holy Spirit of salvation. This was not a sentimental act whereby the parents thought, you know, wouldn't it be really neat to have Jesus hold our baby and touch our baby? This wasn't an act of superstition whereby the parents thought Jesus had some magical power and what if he could touch their baby? This was an act of faith. They believed that Jesus was who his name revealed him to be. Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, the Son of God who can save us and our children from our sins. They believed that their children were not innocent and perfectly morally pure, angelic-like, but that their children were conceived and born in sin and desperately in need of salvation. And they believed that Jesus had the power to bestow upon their children the Holy Spirit of salvation. And should their children receive the Holy Spirit, that would mean, as we read in our baptism form, that by that Spirit they would be incorporated into Jesus Christ. So that it wouldn't merely be a matter of Jesus physically holding them in his arms in the end. Of what value is that? But that their children, by the Spirit, would be grafted into Jesus, would be one with him in body and soul, spiritually and organically, and therefore receive in Christ all of the blessings of salvation, including the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. That this was a parental act of faith in which they wanted Jesus to bestow upon their children the Spirit of salvation is evident from the fact that they wanted Jesus to touch their children, to put his hands upon them. According to God's own appointment, the laying on of hands symbolizes the imparting of the Spirit of saving blessings. Acts 8, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered money. Maybe some of you remember back to September 18, 2011, when I had to get down on my knees on the platform at the installation service and two ministers put their hands on my head. And that was symbolizing the Holy Spirit of God being conferred for the equipping of a man for the ministry, the laying on of hands. These parents brought their little babies to Jesus that he might touch them with a hand. They desired that he would impart the Spirit of salvation and all of the blessings of salvation, for the laying on of hands was symbolic of the imparting of the Spirit. This was not only an act of faith on behalf of believing parents, it was an act of love. There was no one in Judea who loved their children more than these parents. It is the greatest act of parental love to take a child and bring the child to Jesus, to the one in whom there is everlasting salvation, to the one who is the revelation of the infinite goodness of God. How these parents loved their boys and girls, and they showed it by bringing them to Jesus. So the disciples were there, and they saw these parents bringing their infants to Jesus, and they strongly disapproved. Verse 15, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. The disciples not only disapproved, they rebuked the parents. They scolded them publicly. Do not bring your children to Jesus. Come on, shame on you. Now go away with your children. The way Luke connects this incident to the parable that precedes it leads us to believe that the disciples didn't rebuke the parents because they thought Jesus was too busy and he didn't have time to be looking at these children, but because they had a fundamentally wrong conception of the kingdom and kingdom salvation. They didn't understand that children belong to the kingdom as children, that children don't have to understand the kingdom in order to be in it, that infants do not have to understand who Jesus is in order to belong to Jesus and his kingdom and receive his blessings. So they rebuked the parents for bringing to Jesus the children. Jesus, upon hearing the rebuke of his disciples, was displeased, and he called. Verse 16, but Jesus called them unto him, and them, pronoun, does not refer back to the disciples, but to the infants. He called them unto him, and then he said, he publicly declared, and everyone there heard it, suffer, and in the King James, suffer there means let, allow, permit little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Let them come, bring them. Do not stand between me and the children. And then Mark and Matthew tell us what happened. And what happened is exactly what the parents wanted to happen. Matthew 19, verse 15. And he laid his hands upon them. And Mark 10, verse 16, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. He spoke his effectual word of salvation and blessed them. This morning, as a congregation and as believing parents, we bring a little baby to Jesus. Baptism belongs to Jesus. It's his sacrament. He instituted it, and he uses it as a means of grace in his church. And even as parents brought their babies to Jesus that he might touch them as a sign, so we bring our children to baptism that Jesus, by an ordained servant, might sprinkle water upon them as a sign, pointing to a spiritual reality. So we don't come this morning out of custom or superstition, but by faith, believing that our children are sinful and desperately in need of salvation, and believing that Jesus can effectually bless them with the Holy Spirit, which blessing is symbolized by the sprinkling of the water of baptism. So we bring them to baptism. Furthermore, we want them baptized so that our children may be distinguished from the children of the ungodly world, having the mark of God's covenant, and so that our children can be added to the visible church, like this congregation, where Jesus is present with his means of grace. So this morning, we bring a little child to Jesus as parents brought children to Jesus that he might touch them. The ground for our bringing of children to Jesus is that our children belong to God's kingdom. Verse 16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for," this is the ground, the basis, "for of such is the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of the Roman Empire of Jesus' day, and the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of the United States of America of our day, but the kingdom of God is spiritual. In the chapter that immediately precedes Luke 18, we read the words of Jesus, Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." To be of the kingdom of God, or to be in the kingdom of God, is to have the kingdom of God in you. If you are of the kingdom of God, or in the kingdom of God, then God is in you. He dwells in your heart by the Spirit of Jesus, so that King Jesus reigns in your heart. If you are in the kingdom, then King Jesus has given to you the faculty of faith, and he will call it forth unto conscious activity. King Jesus has cleansed your heart by the blood that he shed upon the cross. If you are in the kingdom, then King Jesus has given you the power to hate sin and unrighteousness and to love and pursue what is good and pure. King Jesus has brought peace to your heart and comfort and joy. If you're in the kingdom, then King Jesus will give you victory over the world and over your own flesh and over the devil. If you're in the kingdom, King Jesus has brought you into submission to him. And he will take you everlastingly through the gates of righteousness to live with God forever and ever. To be in the kingdom of God is to be saved, only the elect are of the kingdom of God. Only the elect are in the kingdom. But among all of the elect who belong to the kingdom of God, there are children. For of children is the kingdom of God. Even as there were children in the Roman Empire, there were babies in the Roman Empire, and they had no idea that they were in what was called the Roman Empire. Even as there are babies in the United States of America, and there's not one infant in the United States of America who knows, "I'm in the United States of America." So there are babies. This is not surprising. There are babies in the kingdom of God, even though they don't consciously know and understand that they are in the kingdom of God. Not all children are in the kingdom. Not even all of the children of believers are in the kingdom. But the children of believing parents organically considered as those chosen everlastingly unto salvation by the God of election, and those who are the spiritual seed like Jacob and not the carnal seed like Esau. They belong to the kingdom of God. Children. More specifically, the text says infants or babes. As babes. It's not that children belong to the kingdom only when they become adults, but infants belong to the kingdom as infants. Infants can already have King Jesus occupying the throne of their heart so that they are heirs of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. In the text, Jesus gives the ground for why parents must bring their infants to Him, the King of the kingdom. And Jesus gives the ground for why no one, whether a disciple or other, may ever dare stand between parents and Jesus as parents are bringing their infants to Jesus. And Jesus gives the ground for why He will take these little infants out of the hands of their parents and hold them in His hands and put His hand upon them and bless them. And the ground, as stated by Jesus, is for of such is the kingdom of God. Children belong to God's kingdom. Infants do not come to Jesus to be made part of His kingdom, to be made the subjects of His kingdom. They come by their believing parents in the line of generations as those who already are in the kingdom. And they receive the touching, the sprinkling of water as the sign of the kingdom in which they already are. For of such is the kingdom of God. For of such is the kingdom. Jesus doesn't say, for of these is the kingdom, and lead anyone to believe that He's limiting it only to these little babies who actually get touched by Him. Not of these, but for of such, of children. Believing children, rather children of believing parents according to the decree of election, wherever they are, anywhere, for of such, of children, is the kingdom of God. It is for good reason then that the Reformed baptism form appeals to Mark chapter 10 as one ground for the practice of infant baptism. The Baptists go astray and go seriously astray when they refuse to administer the sign, the sacrament of baptism, to children, contending that little children are heathen little vipers and may not be regarded as belonging to the kingdom of God until they can come to the years of discretion and make a credible confession of faith. But there's not one infant who was ever brought to Jesus to be touched by Him who knew or could confess that he was born in sin and subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself. Not one infant was ever brought to Jesus who knew or could confess that Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God. Not one infant was ever brought to Jesus who knew or could confess what the kingdom of God actually is. But that didn't keep Jesus from saying, "Let the children come to me and forbid them not." Even infants. Jesus demands that the children of believers be brought unto Him for His touch and for His blessing, for they already have kingdom membership. And the Bible demands that the children of believers be brought for baptism. They already have the reality to which baptism points, inclusion in the kingdom of God. Suffer. Let, allow, permit the little children to come. Why? For of such is the kingdom of God. That our infants belong to the kingdom of God is not only the ground for bringing them to Jesus, but contained within that ground is a profound twofold comfort to parents of children. First, our infants are according to the flesh born into the world, a kingdom of terrifying darkness. Yes, the United States of America is one of the most advantageous countries in which to live as a professing Christian, and God be thanked that we live here. But it is the world. Our infants are born into the world, where the devil and all of his demons use the abounding lawlessness that surrounds us to try to devour our children. For example, the devil stands behind the door of every kindergarten classroom in every public school in the state of California. And he stands behind that door salivating and licking his chops, waiting for the five-year-olds to come walking through the door that he might devour their soul. Now, even though we don't send our children into that den of destruction, the devil's everywhere. He sits on the throne of the earthly kingdoms, and wickedness reigns, and unrighteousness triumphs, and righteousness is disdained, and the righteous are hated. And every believing parent knows that. When we bring forth a little baby and hold the baby in our arms, what God-fearing couple does not stop and think to themselves, what is our little child going to see in this world? Antichrist himself? And when our thoughts are turned away from God and we are not beholding our great God in all of his power and love as our Father, then we become very afraid when we hold little children in this wicked world. But we need to hear this morning the comforting words of Jesus, who says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." Our children belong to the kingdom of God. They have Jesus as their king. It doesn't matter what their birth certificate says. They have their names written on the rolls of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus Christ, who reigns supreme in the heavens and is the king of Satan and is in control of everything in the universe, who can comprehend that? That Jesus, the same one who died for us, he reigns as king in the hearts even of our infants. He will protect them. He loves them. He died for them. He will defend and protect our little children in the world and as they come to years of discretion. If any of us is afraid, let's remember Jesus' words regarding infants. For of such is the kingdom of God. And secondly, that our children are of the kingdom of God is tremendously comforting when it should please God to take one of our children out of this life through death into the glory of heaven. And we don't doubt that he does exactly that, that he brings them through the gates of the kingdom of heaven. For of such, of children, is the kingdom of God. Kingdom children. That's very comforting for us this morning. Jesus leaves us this morning, though, with his command. That stands out in the text, verse 16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, now he has a command that he makes effectual in us by his grace, so that we hearken unto his command. His command is, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. He says that to parents. He says that to the whole congregation. Let the little children come. Bring your children to me. Don't hinder them. Don't interfere with them. Don't stand between me and them. Bring your children to me and forbid them not. And that command ends with a negative, because the reality is that all too often, just like the disciples, we get in the way. We are not as faithful as we should be. We become lazy. We don't obey the command, or worse yet, we become a stumbling block between our children and Jesus. Let the children come and forbid them not. And I think if we were standing there and heard Jesus issue this command after what the disciples just did, we'd be really impressed by the sharpness of his tone. And his tone is sharp because his heart is full of love. And he loves the infants for whom he died and who belong to his kingdom. And so he speaks sharply. Let them come. Don't get in the way. Children come to Jesus when they come to hear Jesus in the gospel in church. And Jesus has a sharp word for preachers who do not preach the cross and who do not show the congregation their sins so that they might know their need for Jesus and then bring them to the cross of Jesus. Jesus says to the preacher, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Jesus has a sharp word for office bearers in the church who allow false doctrine, especially the false doctrine of proud works righteousness that teaches that you don't receive the kingdom as a little child by faith in Jesus, but you receive the kingdom by the works that you do. You mustn't be as little children. You must be as hired servants who get to work, and you work for your salvation. The toleration of that proud doctrine is the banishing of Jesus in the doctrine. And Jesus says, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not," by that proud false doctrine. Jesus has a sharp word for office bearers who do not take heed to the families, whether on family visitation or any time through the course of the year, and let a home sink away. And as the home starts to sink away, the little children start to sink away into corruption. And they don't see Jesus. "Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not." Jesus has a sharp word for parents who skip church, have all kinds of excuses for why they don't come to church, and as a consequence, they don't bring their children to church. And Jesus' word is, stop hindering them. Bring the children to me. Jesus has a word for parents who profess his name, but they regard their children as heathen little vipers, and they will not bring them to baptism. Let the children come to me and forbid them not. Children come to Jesus in catechism, which is a form of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has a command for any consistory that begins to minimize catechism and the place of catechism and lets catechism slowly fall by the wayside or lets the minister be busy with all kinds of things so that he doesn't have time diligently to prepare for and teach the children catechism. And a sharp word for the catechism teacher, the minister in the classroom who gives all kinds of instruction in abstract form, but he never actually gets to the heart of the matter in every single lesson, and that is to unfold before the little children in their eyes and in their hearts, Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, in whom is our salvation. Jesus says, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not," in catechism. "Bring them to me." And Jesus has a word for any congregation anywhere that's torn apart with strife, a congregation that fights so that people only sit on one side of the sanctuary or they only go in and out of one door because they want to avoid other people in the church. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And you're forbidding them. You're interfering with them. You're hindering them. When you make the church a war zone and all you do is fight, and children see, this is what church is. This is what Jesus is all about. It's about fighting each other. And they don't want anything to do with Jesus and his church. Let them come to me. Jesus says to every congregation, live in peace and show my peace. Suffer children to come unto me and forbid them not. Children not only come to Jesus in the church, but in the Christian home. Jesus is present in the home. He's present in godly parents who live together in their marriage as a reflection of Jesus' marriage to his church. And as they live in their home as a godly example to their children, living according to the will of Jesus, and especially as they open up the Holy Scriptures and they provide instruction for their children in the home and in the school as an extension of the home. Bring them to me. Jesus has a sharp word for parents who do not take the time to bring their children to Jesus, who do not open the Scriptures, and who do not read the Scriptures and take the time to apply the Scriptures to and with their children, always getting to the heart of the matter, which is to show them something of Jesus. Because the parents are too lazy, or because they have all kinds of excuses, or they're always rushed with work, or they have all kinds of extracurricular activities, Jesus says, you bring your children to everyone, and you bring your children everywhere. You'll sit them at the feet of the television for over an hour. Why don't you bring them to me? Bring them. Open up the instruction of my word. Bring them. Suffer children to come unto me and forbid them not. And Jesus has a word for us in our marriages, and that's the connection made by Matthew and Mark. One of the great travesties of divorce and remarriage is that children are hindered from coming to Jesus. Jesus' command touches us in our marriages this morning, and Jesus says, don't live at odds. Don't live in enmity in your marriage. Don't betray one another, and don't be unfaithful to each other, because when you do, you are not leading your children to me. You're creating a stumbling block, or you may even drive them away from me. And don't say, but we take them to church and we've had them baptized. They won't be affected by our enmity and our fighting. It's fine. It's not fine. Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. I can imagine the disciples wincing. They stepped up and they said no. And then Jesus stepped up and said, yes, let them come. And we wince. But that's good. We wince. And now we all need to come by faith to the crucified Lord Jesus Christ and say right now in our hearts, Jesus, we thank thee for this word this morning. We are very sorry for our sins and that we have not been bringing our children to thee as we ought. Forgive, O God, for the sake of Jesus. Jesus, wash us with thy blood. And even as we saw the water sprinkled on this little baby this morning, may the blood of Jesus sprinkle our guilty conscience. And may we have peace through the blood of his cross. And may we be quickened by his Holy Spirit through this word so that we have a firm resolution never to get in the way of, but to take our children and using the means of grace, bring them to Jesus. For of such is the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the words of our Lord. Every word was measured. Every word was careful. Every word was deliberate. Every word was always instructive. When we open up the scriptures, we need to hear and apply every word of our Lord. Apply his words to us this morning. And may we be motivated by thy so great a salvation of us to hearken unto thy word and will. We pray, O God, that we may bring our children to the Lord Jesus, even now in a few moments. Bring them to the ascended Jesus, and in Sunday school, show them the great glory and power that belongs to the one who sits on the throne of the universe, Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Savior. In his name do we pray. Amen.